Support comes from Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to sustainable and sound conservation of the state's forests, which support more than 41,000 Missouri jobs, resulting in a $10 billion industry. Choosewood.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Since 2005, Lo-Fi St. Louis has documented local music and culture through the medium of video. Part of that is Lo-Fi Cherokee, an annual event where music videos are filmed before live audiences at businesses on Cherokee Street in South St. Louis. One such video features bassist and vocalist Tonina, who performed her song Mercy at Earthbound Beer in 2019. Lo-Fi Cherokee has developed a great following among artists and attendees alike. And this year's event, which takes place this Saturday, April 6th, will be another don't-miss event with at least two notable distinctions. Here to talk with us about that, we have two guests with unique insights into those. First, Lo-Fi St. Louis founder Bill Streeter. Welcome.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
And we also have STL singer-songwriter Beth Bombara. Welcome to you, too.
Thanks.
And thank you both for coming back on the show. Let's start with the origins and do some stage setting, as it were, and fact checking. So Lo-Fi St. Louis and Lo-Fi Cherokee sort of strike me as nesting dolls of a sort.
Yeah.
You know, how did and when both of these lo-fis come to be, Bill?
Lo-Fi St. Louis started mainly as, it was really an experiment. I mean, everything, both these things were really experiments, I guess, to start out with. But, you know, at the time that I started Lo-Fi St. Louis, YouTube didn't even exist yet. Mm-hmm. So I was experimenting with publishing video online at the time because I figured I'm a film guy. I studied film in Chicago, in college. So I was interested in the internet as a medium of distribution for video, and I was really into music. So the easiest thing for me at the time was just to start shooting bands and publishing them on my own blog. And then after a few years of doing that, I did another series at City Museum, sort of after hours, one take performances at City Museum, and I did a few of those, and then Lo-Fi Cherokee came about because there was a group of musicians in St. Louis that got together one year and decided to sort of cross-promote each other.
Okay.
And they released a compilation record of a bunch of their music, and they came to me and asked if I could help them promote it somehow with video. And I suggested that I was hanging out on Cherokee Street at the time quite a bit, and I suggested maybe shooting one take videos on Cherokee Street, maybe one a week or so, you know, was my suggestion.
Sure, one a week.
Yeah, for a few weeks, and then to sort of showcase some of these bands. And Jason Hutto, who was a local musician at the time, he goes, can you do them all in one day? And I kind of looked at him and I said, no, absolutely not. And then I thought about it, and then I realized that the thing that took us the longest to do the one take videos at City Museum was setting up for audio. So I thought if we had three audio crews that sort of leapfrogged each other, we could maybe pull off something in one day. So in 2012, just as a one-off, it wasn't planning on being a regular event. In fact, it wasn't even public when we did it that
year.
We decided to go ahead and try it, and people followed us around that year, and they're like, you should make this into a regular event. So
And as you were talking about the difficulties of setting up audio, our folks in the in the control room were all nodding. I can see them behind the glass.
Yeah.
So what was it about Cherokee Street in 2012 that made you go, I'm going to produce all these music videos in multiple locations and do it right here?
So Cherokee Street, I mean, even now, it's just a very dynamic, unique local business district. And it was sort of going through a little bit of a resurgence at the time. And it's, you know, it's a place where somebody can start a small business and try something new. It's a very experimental kind of business community. You know, mm-hmm. there's a large immigrant community there, and then there's a lot of people that are just trying new things there. And it just, I just connected with the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I felt very at home there. Mm-hmm. So
Beth, you're nodding as Bill is describing what Cherokee was like at that time. And you were part of that very first lo-fi Cherokee. What did you think when you heard about it and then made you game, you know, to perform a single song for a one-take music video that was recorded in front of a live audience and inside an antique shop of all places?
An unsuspecting live audience.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, because we didn't right. tell it wasn't really public at the time. We didn't invite the public to watch that.
Yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
think the public would be
so it was a flash concert. Yeah.
Kind of. It was yeah. kind of like a pop-up flash concert yeah. for just the few people who happened to be in the, I think it was the Retro 101 yep. Vintage shop.
Mm-hmm.
And then they saw us come in there with instruments and are like, oh, what's going on?
Okay.
And so, I don't know. It just, to me, the appeal of it was I saw what Bill was doing with video, and I thought, oh, this looks fun, you know.
And we'd worked together before.
Let's try it. Yeah, we did one at the City Museum.
Yeah. Okay.
Which was probably the first video I ever did.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah, I never, because it was kind of new at the time. And yeah. I mean, as a musician, I knew that like having video is a good way to kind of get your music out there and reach people.
Right.
And so it sounded really fun to me. And the fact that Bill was very focused on local, like St. Louis musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we were doing that day. It sounded, I thought, hey, that, let's do it.
Yeah. And what was that experience for you like?
When you talk about doing a one take music video, it's kind of daunting.
Sure.
Because I think I had recently written this song too, and now that Bill mentioned it, it was recorded and included in that group of local compilation, the Tower Groove Records, which
yep,
I think is
Tower
actually
Groove
a great mm-hmm. name for a St. Louis record label. But anyway, it just the collaborative community aspect of it was really appealing, and I had just written a new song that was on that compilation, and mm-hmm. I was excited to sort of try to capture that in a live setting.
Yeah. I mean, how did it feel then to see the video afterward? There's documentation of, right?
It felt very surreal. It was like it solidified this piece of art that I made,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a visual format.
Right.
Because, you know, normally up until then, you know, I write a song and I go in the studio and record it, and it's an MP3 or on a CD, and there's no real visual element to it. So
right.
for me, that was very exciting to sort of have a visual element to my music.
Mm-hmm. So, Bill, hearing responses like that, is that part of what then made you turn it into something where those people who just happened to be following you all around officially became part of the experience?
Yeah. I think so. I'm a visual person, and I love music, and I guess I'm a frustrated musician. Like, I never I can't play music. But I guess ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to be in a band. And I feel like my crew with Lo-Fi is my band,
mm-hmm.
you know,
because
it's very much a creative collaboration amongst ourselves in the way a band would be, I mm-hmm. would imagine. I don't know. I've never been in a band.
No, I agree
but,
with that.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair, that's a good assessment.
My band, you know.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. So you did another one that year too, that first year with Cassie.
Oh, that's
Cassie Morgan.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So you were in two that first year.
Yeah.
So. As a performer and then as a solo artist.
Oh,
and I
nice.
Love
right.
that song she did that year. If
yeah,
people want to
yeah.
go, all these are on YouTube. So you can go back by year. There's playlists by year, and you can go all the way back to 2012 and watch all the videos. And that song that she did was amazing. And
right,
it was,
right.
Like, it was a favorite of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Really, so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, so the mini festival experience,
yeah.
something we just talked about, it's a huge component mm-hmm. of Lo-Fi St. Louis. And that production of music videos that you were just talking about, you have your band in that way. And then you had also mentioned earlier that you started your blog before YouTube launched, and that Lo-Fi Cherokee started the same year YouTube got its start. And then that really
Lo-Fi
changed.
Lo-Fi St. Louis did,
Right. Yeah. It really changed the way we consume video content. So from the filmmaker's perspective, I mean, what is it that producing Lo-Fi Cherokee has taught you?
Well, you know, I was actually working for AT&T at the time when I started all this, and I was thinking about maybe starting a business, and that's what I ended up doing. I have a business now, Hydraulic Pictures, where I produce video content for people. So, so that's kind of, you know, I guess I was getting my production chops, you know, doing this, and Lo-Fi Cherokee has always been a great exercise in just video production and putting together a big project like this and working with a lot of other, you know, camera people and sound people and things like that. So,
And Lo-Fi Cherokee is very much a passion project, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've never really made, it's definitely not for the money.
Right, right.
Because I've never really made, I mean, we pay our crew, but like I've never personally really made any money off of it. So
those lessons are very valuable. Then.
Yeah, yeah. Right, but it's, you know, I've benefited from it in other ways. You know, there's, you know, publicity for my business and things like that. So I guess that's helpful.
Yeah. But. Now, the lineup of musicians, it does change every year.
Yep.
And from what I understand, there's been no act or band to perform twice in Lo-Fi Cherokee. We're gonna we will come back to that in just a moment. But I can imagine that even that element of making those choices, that creates a lot of work.
Yeah, you know, my least favorite part of the entire project is telling acts that have applied to be part of it that they can't be part of it. I hate making that call because there's so many great acts every year.
Yeah,
I mean, and there's so much great talent in this town, and it's gotten better every year. I think just because music production's gotten easier for people, so people are able to put together much better demos than they've ever been able to do before. And we've gotten, you know, well over 100 submissions every year for this thing. So, and we picked 12, at, you know, this year. So, yeah, it's always heartbreaking to have to tell somebody that you know, we didn't pick them. So
one of the things I want to make sure we do before we get too much further is hear some music, because music and video, this is what Lo-Fi Cherokee is about. And Beth, since the time, those many years ago, you first participated in Lo-Fi Cherokee, you've released several albums. Let's take a listen to your song, Moment, from your 2023 album, It All Goes Up. Again, that was Moment by Beth Bombara. She'll be performing at Lo-Fi Cherokee this Saturday, April 6th. So we were talking, Bill, a little bit earlier about the selection of artists. And one of the special distinctions this year is that, Beth, you are going to be an exception in that you will be the first musician as a musician on your own to play more than once Lo-Fi Cherokee. How does that make you feel?
I'm a repeat. it it feels very good. It puts me in a place of sort of looking back on that first Lo-Fi Cherokee and what I was doing at the time and what I was writing. And I was playing with a completely different group of musicians than I'm playing with now. And it sort of made me look, like, reflect on all the songs I've written since then,
mm-hmm.
and all the places that I've traveled to play music. So that sort of reflection is really, yeah, it's making me a little nostalgic.
Yeah.
You know, I should mention that she wasn't really an exception to the rule. The rule was no repeats unless it's been at least 10 years since the last time you've done it.
Oh, okay.
So it's been 12 years.
Yeah,
12 years.
But nobody else has repeated.
Nobody else. She's the only repeat we've ever had.
I'm the only one who's stuck it out and not given up making music.
Yeah, somebody.
I'm still doing it.
That's another point. Yeah, there's not that many bands that are still around from that first year.
Okay. So, well, and the 10th anniversary was the last time you were here. Based on the information that I had. But this is now the first one.
Yeah.
So, Bill, we mentioned in the intro that this will be the final Lo-Fi Cherokee. Why is now the right time to hang up your hat?
Well, I'm not hanging up my hat from everything.
I'll
probably do another creative project. Lo-Fi St. Louis will evolve into something else. I'm still exploring ideas at the moment, but I just, you know, this year, every year I've done it, it's a huge undertaking to do it every year. And for, you know, no monetary reward, not that that was ever the most important thing to me, but, you know, and my, you know, it's a passion project that I guess I've kind of lost my passion for over the years. Like this year, I had a hard time getting excited about it, but when we start planning for it in December, January. And I thought, you know, if I'm not that excited about it anymore, maybe we should move on and do something else. And I'm a big fan of ending things. You know, I think there's sometimes TV shows and things that go on forever and they really shouldn't, you know. And I think, you know, you want to go out on top. And I think we're going to go out on top this year.
Okay. Well, so as far as some of the changes, though, that maybe Lo-Fi Cherokee has been part of, has been the scene for, that has, you know, that's motivated some changes in the arts community, which we've talked about a lot. Is there anything, Beth, from your perspective, that you think Lo-Fi Cherokee has sort of uniquely contributed to that development over the last 12 years?
Well, I think in a broad sense, it's just made the general public aware of all of this original music that's going on in the city, which I think is a great thing, because giving that more visibility is one, it's making that aware for everyone else who lives in St. Louis that, hey, there's music, original music that you can go out and see any weekend or almost any night of the week.
Yeah.
And two, it's been a huge source of encouragement for the people making that music, for the bands and the songwriters, having somebody say, hey, we believe in what you're doing and we want to elevate that and put out these videos for you, because that is, especially right now, is one of the most important tools that bands can have to sort of get any sort of exposure is video.
Yeah.
So I think those two things have been really, really important.
Yeah. And to that point, this Saturday will be Lo-Fi Cherokee. If you could give me the Instagram reel version of who'll be playing this weekend and where, Bill, how would you do
that? We're going to start down the street at Flowers and Weeds, and we're going to end at the very end, right near Jefferson and Cherokee at City Mouse Vintage, and we're kind of moving on the street like in that route. But we got the Playadors, the Mo X and All Stars, They Need Machines to Fly, Ish Ensemble, Eric Hall, Red and Black Brass Band, Ricky Dorch, Valley Gold, Pomia Twain himself, Matt F. Basler, and Beth Bombara.
Beth will be closing.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be looking forward to hearing about how people experience it. And there will be a premiere party of those videos in May. So
May 19th at Off-Broadway.
Okay, that's great. Well, Bill Streeter is filmmaker and founder of Lo-Fi St. Louis, which produces Lo-Fi Cherokee, and Beth Bombara is a St. Louis-based singer-songwriter. Beth and Bill, thank you so much for joining
us
today.
Thanks for having us.
You can be part of the Lo-Fi experience this Saturday, April 6th, at various locations up and down Cherokee Street. Check out the entire lineup by visiting Lo-Fi's Instagram page at LOFISTL.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
St. Louis on the Air proudly supports local artists by using music from Life Creative Group.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to conservation and careful management of the state's forests to make them more resilient and better habitats for wildlife. ChooseWood.com.